I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In our caucus room today, there was a lot of anger, frustration, deep disappointment in our Republican colleagues. For months, from this very spot, this podium, right here, we heard Republicans over and over again say the border is an urgent crisis. They called it an emergency. They said it must be fixed. However, yesterday, within 24 hours of releasing the long-awaited bipartisan compromise that our Republican colleagues demanded as condition to move Ukraine forward, Leader McConnell and the Republican conference did a 180-degree reversal. They were quaking at the knees at the fear of Donald Trump.
That is Senator Chucky Schumer talking about how Republicans in the Senate that suddenly decided they don't really like this border bill, they're backing away only because they're quaking at the knees, in the knees, because of Donald Trump. You want to give Trump that authority, that power, that control, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, here's the issue. Americans are making their voices heard, and that includes Democrats and independents. Bernie Sanders decided he's against it. Is he afraid of Trump? Give me a break. But Schumer wants to peddle that narrative, and the leftist state-controlled media will carry the water for him. They are backing down because now that the American public has seen it, they say, no, that is not what we want, and it's not because of Donald Trump. It's because of what we want to preserve our nation. It's as simple as that. But let me tell you something real quick here. While Chuck Schumer is out there bemoaning and saying, we stood right here together, we worked together and everything else, and they were all going to be with us and we were going to work together, but we're going to blame Donald Trump. He's also saying, now the plan B. Oh, yeah, they've got a plan B. Wait until you hear this one. First of all, glad to have you on board. Glad to have you with us. Here we are, Feb 7, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you, right here. Reminding you we're here 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday through Friday evening. And in the process, we are also streaming video. And when we're streaming video, you can find it at News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter. Or you can also find it at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, or Twitter. Now, here's the key to keep in mind. If you miss anything, you can always pull up audio and or video podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. And actually on any normal podcast form you want to use. It's there for you. We appreciate you listening at whenever you can. Go back and listen to parts of it. Share it. Please push the button share with others. We want everyone to be involved in this conversation. It's that vital. All right, of course, you heard Chuck Schumer said, oh, we stood right here, and he wants to say the Republicans betrayed him. No, the Democrats were always in the process of betraying the American people. They would include Republicans, Democrats, independents. And, of course, President Biden had to come out, and he actually was able to make some coherent remarks about how bad it was to lose this defeat on the border bill.
The result of all this hard work is a bipartisan agreement that represents the most fair, humane reforms in our immigration system in a long time, and the toughest set of reforms to secure the border ever. Now, All indications are this bill won't even move forward to the Senate floor. Why? A simple reason. Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump thinks it's bad for him politically. Therefore, he doesn't, even though it helps the country, he's not for it. He'd rather weaponize this issue than actually solve it. So for the last 24 hours, he's done nothing, I'm told, but reach out to Republicans in the House and the Senate and threaten them and try to intimidate them to vote against this proposal. And it looks like they're caving. Frankly, they owe it to the American people to show some spine and do what they know to be right.
Show some spine? How about you, Joe Biden, showing some spine and going against the progressives in your party and saying we're shutting the border down again? You weak-kneed Joe Biden on that debate stage when everyone was asked in their primary debates with your other candidates around you in the Democrat Party wanting to get in the Oval Office. How many of you were in favor of an open border? Everybody shot their hand up, and Joe's looking, he finally put his hand up. That's why we're here where we are now. But again, put the blame on Trump. So you want to tell me Donald Trump frightened Bernie Sanders into turning against the bill? Is that what you want to tell? You want to tell me he also talked to some of your Democrat senators and told them to get away from it? It's toxic? I don't know if he was calling other Republicans. I don't really care. He's entitled to do that. If they took his call, they didn't take his call. They make their decision, their vote, and it stands. But again, back to Chuck Schumer, put all the blame on Trump.
They were quaking at the knees at the fear of Donald Trump. If there's two words that describe why this, one of the most important pieces of legislation to come before us in a very long time, failed, it is Donald Trump. And second, it's the inability of Republican congressmen and senators to resist his bullying, even though they know he's wrong. Even though they know he's wrong. It's a bad moment for the Republic. I mean, how could you negotiate with people like this? We tried. That's my job. I always believe in bipartisanship.
Right.
But first, they say they can't pass Ukraine funding without border provisions. Now,
but
they can't pass Ukraine funding with border provisions. Well, which one is it?
I'll tell you which one it is. That is, the deal was no money for Ukraine until we get the money we need to shut down the border, not to continue processing and enabling more to come in and putting a cap. Well, we'll only take 5,000 in a period of time, maybe 8,500, and we'll put a cap on it. That is not what the American people want. How about this? How about if we said every one of those coming across will go direct to New York City? Who do you think one of the first ones would be yelling out against that would be? Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, along with the governor up there. Say, yeah, we're only going to do it, but these 5,000 come in every day. We're just going to send them direct to New York City. No, it was not a border deal. It was a matter of shutting the border. And you weren't going to get Ukraine money. And they said, well, we gave you a border deal. Why aren't you giving us Ukraine money? This is always going to be a win-win for the Democrats. So let me put this down for you. Chuck Schumer's plan B now is, I'm just going to present a money package just for Ukraine. Surprise, huh? He was offered a singular bill to help Israel right after October 7th, almost $14.5 billion, right from the House to his hands. And he rejected it, saying, this is a farce. It doesn't include money for Ukraine. So again, it's all back to Ukraine. But it is a win-win for them. See, here's the way it was going to be played out. If we get this through, we'll get our money for Ukraine, and we get a tap down a little bit on the border, but it won't really hold, and it'll take 2 to 3 years to put it all in place anyway. But we'll tell the people we're working on it. And if Republicans back away from it and we lose the vote, we don't get it at all to the vote at all, it's a win for us too because we can blame Donald Trump. Everybody hates him anyway. It was going to be a win-win for them. That's the way they plotted it anyway. But Biden insisting this was going to give me great authority. That's the president speaking.
This bill would also give me, as president, the emergency authority to temporarily shut down the border when it becomes overwhelmed. The numbers are talking over 5,000 people trying to get in one day. The bill, if the bill were law today, it would qualify to be shut down right now while we repair it. Bottom line is, this bipartisan bill is a win for America because it makes important fixes to our broken immigration system. And it's the toughest, fairest law that's ever been proposed relative to the border. But the reforms in this bill are essential for making our border more orderly, more humane, and more secure. That's why the Border Patrol Union, which, by the way, endorsed Donald Trump in the 2020 election, endorses this bill. These are the people whose job it is to secure the border every single solitary day. They don't just show up for photo ops like some members of Congress.
Oh, you mean like when the Democrats went down when Trump was president? Or the Kamala Harris, and you went down for a photo op just to say, yeah, I saw the border. But what he said there probably shook a lot of you. He's saying the Border Patrol Union was actually in favor of this bill. There are certain qualifiers that need to be added and caveats. But let's go first to Brandon Judd, the head of the Border Patrol Union.
When you look right now what we're currently dealing with, this is a slow month, and we're dealing with 6,700 apprehensions on a daily basis. What this would do is it would cap it to where we couldn't take anything more than 5,000. Now, this does not say that we're going to release 5,000 people into the United States. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It says that we will hold single adults in custody. They will not be subject to release. And so that is a huge deterrent. That will deter an awful lot of people from crossing our borders illegally. We know that the main magnet that people cross our borders is because they're going to be released into the United States. Once you stop that magnet, you will stop an awful lot of people from coming. So although it's not perfect, it is a step in the right direction, and I would rather have the step in the right direction than nothing and consign me to what the status quo is.
Well, Brandon Judd, on one hand, I understand what he's trying to say, but he's failing. And a lot of his Border Patrol agents probably don't like it either because, yeah, it would be better than what they're seeing now, but it wouldn't stop it. You stop it by going back to where we were before. We shut the border. The president has the authority. He doesn't need, quote, emergency declaration inside this new bill. You've got the authority to do so. Now, when Brandon Judd was presenting some point saying that, well, it's better than the status quo if we have only 5,000 within a seven-day period coming across. Well, of course it would be better. I'm not great at ciphering, but I can do those numbers. I don't know why he's getting on board selling it. He's even admitting that it's not really going to be the best. He doesn't really like it, but I guess he felt like, well, I got to look like I'm doing something. I don't know. But Brandon Judd was in an interview with Harris Faulkner, and to her credit, she held his feet to the fire on this point.
What this does is it ties any future president's hands. So if we have another president like Joe Biden, this will ensure that he doesn't do what he's currently doing. That is better than the status quo. Again, I'm going to look at this. Is this bill better than the status quo? And it absolutely is. Nobody can argue that. Nobody can argue that it's not better than what we currently have. And so if it's better than what we currently have, why wouldn't I support it? Obviously, I'm going to do that because it gives us border security measures that we don't have, that we've never had. And we need those border security measures to counteract a president like Joe Biden. It doesn't take away any executive authority. So if President Trump...
Well, if that's the case, why can't we just use that now? Why can't we use the laws that are on the books now?
But he won't, so why not tie his hands with law? That's what laws do.
Why do you think he'd follow the laws coming that you want to see changed if he won't even follow the laws that are on the books right now? If he won't enforce what he's got in front of
him? The Supreme Court in 2023 said that he has the authority to release people. So we can argue that he shouldn't release people, but our own court system...
He also could shut the border down right now.
Harris, absolutely. But this law ties his hands. This law doesn't allow the Supreme Court to come in and say that he can release people. This law says that if you're single adults, you will be held in custody. It ties his hands, and it will tie any future president's hands.
I don't need it, a future law. I can go back to 2006, the Secure Fence Act that Biden voted for as a senator that strengthened the authority for the executive branch, the president's office, to secure the border. It's on the books already. GOP Kansas Senator Roger Marshall said, you really solve this issue by securing the border by starting with kicking Joe Biden out of office in November. Amen, amen. And on that point, the left is showing fear.
Talk this election cycle about whether some other high-profile Democrats could replace Joe Biden on the 2024 presidential ballot. But apparently, the basement strategy is working for the ladies of The View.
There isn't going to be another candidate. No.
Yeah.
The candidate is Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He
so
has run this country well. He has so much to run on. He's got better economy. Inflation is down. Job growth, more job growth than any other president in the past couple of decades.
His infrastructure bill.
Infrastructure bill. Created jobs. So he has a platform to run on. The Republicans have zero
nothing.
To run on.
Nothing.
And the best candidate that the Republicans could come up with is Donald Trump.
And the best candidates the Democrats come up with is Joe Biden. I don't care if you like or hate either one of them. But that nonsensical response from the ladies on The View, it just shows you again, you're better off spending your time trying to, pick ants out of an ant bed. I know it sounds stupid, but so is that. And Joe Concha with Fox News analyst and The Messenger has his reaction.
You listen to somebody like Sunny Hostin, and you just feel sorry for her pets, right? Because that's only an hour we're exposed to that on ABC. At home, this is probably something that the pets have to listen to and can't talk back about in any way, shape, or form. It was fun watching the hamster wheel in her head try to reel off Joe Biden's accomplishments. And if I got to hear one more time that inflation is down, I'm going to go start running in traffic. It is not down. It's just not going up as fast. It's still nearly three times as high as it was when Joe Biden took office. The takeaway from that clip is fear. It's panic. Because they see these polls now, especially forget the national polls, swing states. Joe Biden is down in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. If he loses even four of those states, Donald Trump is your next president. And the biggest number that I saw this week, Joe Biden's trailing among independent voters, the type of people that don't watch The View, by more than 20 points.
Surprise, surprise. By the way, RNC chairwoman Rona McDaniel is resigning, handwriting on the wall for months. And during one of the primary debates, Vivek Ramaswamy gutted her.
We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer in the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you.
Yeah, well, of course, she didn't get on the stage, and she's not looking the voters in the eye now. She's just going to say, that's South Carolina, I'm out of here. You know why? Because you're supposed to be fundraising. That's the job of the RNC chairwoman. You're not making policy, just bring the money in. She's not been doing it. There's talk now that former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy might be the one that could head that up. He's very good about raising dollars. We'll see how that plays out. In our next hour, Dr. Randy Tobler of News Talk STL on some of the vaccines that have been released could have toxic reactions for you. And coming up next, Biden turning his back on Israel. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm going on a way to duck gun carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm going on a way to duck gun carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from, left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Of course, we're just talking about how the border bill now has been defeated and not going to be brought up by Chuck Schumer, knowing he can't get it through, and he's blaming Donald Trump, obviously. And I don't know how he explains why Bernie Sanders is suddenly shaking at the knees because of Donald Trump and walking away from it, or other Democrats, but he had his plan B. A plan B is just to bring up a plan to fund Ukraine. But therein lies another story. And my guest is perfect to break it down for us, David Harshani. He is the senior editor at The Federalist. David, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, let's begin with Schumer saying, I'll just go ahead and we're going to go ahead and push ahead a solo bill for Ukraine. In the beginning, when Israel was attacked, he stood in the Senate well and declared, we need money ASAP for Israel. And the House immediately handed him a $14.5 billion bill for it. And he said, this is a farce. It doesn't include money for Ukraine. You've got a piece written here that from the Federalist, folks, if you get a chance, please see it in full. Now why Biden is threatening to veto aid to Israel. Well, he did then, and I don't see any movement.
Well, it's complicated. I mean, it's actually not that complicated. He, I think initially when this happened in Israel, it was a big shock, you know, for a lot of people. It's a horrible event.
Sure.
And Biden just acted like he would have acted 20 years ago. He didn't realize the Democratic, or maybe doesn't know that the Democratic Party had changed tremendously on that issue.
But Schumer was Schumer's the one in the Senate well that said we need the money ASAP.
Yeah, him too. I mean, so the Israeli funding, you could be for it or you could be against it, but it should not be attached to Ukrainian funding. Those are two separate issues. They have a whole set of different important things that should be debated, right?
Right.
And it definitely shouldn't be connected to a border bill, which has nothing to do with either of those things. So to pressure Republicans to vote for, try to get Republicans to vote for a border bill, they put in the Israel funding, which Republicans want. So then when the bill falls apart because no one wants it, then they, you know, he threatens to veto Israel funding, but not veto Ukrainian funding.
Right.
And I'm sure he would veto the border, any kind of border security standalone bill as well. So
sure.
Basically, they just want the Ukrainian funding. The rest, they don't really want.
Yes, you nailed it. I knew you did anyway. You already knew it. I'm just helping you. You are ahead of it. I'm just setting it up for the audience. But you're absolutely right. Everything has to be tied to Ukraine. We are willing to spend money to protect the borders of Ukraine. And I'm not against that. But I want to say protect our border first. And why aren't we getting a separate bill for Israel? Why won't they do that?
Yeah, and one of the excuses is that they're worried that Netanyahu wants to get Americans into a wider war there and stuff like that. I don't think that's true at all, and I lay it out in the column if anyone's right. interested. But
everybody's interested, by the way. Everybody's interested, don't you write. Go ahead, sir.
I wish. But they're not worried that we're going to get into a wider conflict in Europe with a nuclear power.
Right.
I mean, Russia is not as strong as a lot of people say they are, but they are a nuclear power, and that's an incredibly dangerous situation. But they will, in perpetuity, give them as much money as they want. Now, I have mixed feelings about what's going on there and what we're doing, but I know that in the Israeli situation, from my point of view, that's a very clear moral line there. I don't think there's any ambiguity about who the bad guys are there if you're a moral person and an American.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, you just have to have some moral compass, but unfortunately in this nation, we seem to have lost that. Not even talking about a religion, I'm just talking about, like you are, is about a moral compass. You point out in your opening piece, Joe Biden promised to veto any standalone aid bill for Israel, and Hakeem Jeffries and most House Democrats also voted against one. The administration maintains Israel's security is so sacred, it must be tied to a doom package containing unrelated issues with border security and Ukrainian aid.
Makes no sense.
No. No, as you said, zero. And you ask in your own piece, that does anyone believe the president would veto a standalone bill for Ukrainian aid? Anyone out there?
Which really tells you what his priorities are. Number one is Ukrainian bill, you know, and then everything else, I guess. And last, maybe border security, because that border security bill was so malleable and so empty that he could just ignore the whole thing if he wanted anyway. It was a nothing bill. So passing that wouldn't have meant anything at all, in my view. So, you know, I mean, the whole thing's just, and you know what they're trying to do now? They're trying to flip the whole thing on its head and pretend that Republicans are the ones who don't want to close the border. It's
right.
Republicans who don't want to pass the bill, which is just, I think most people with any common sense know, you know, wherever they stand politically, know that that's just a myth.
And a lot of the Democrats across the nation, they want that border closed. I mean, they realize the trouble. I mean, Mayor Eric Adams, he's admitted, oh my God, this being a sanctuary state, is not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I am pretty open-minded and liberal on immigration, but like many Americans, I don't like lawlessness. So my parents waited when they came here. They were immigrants. They waited a year outside of this country and waited to come in so they could be here legally. If your first act is to get in here either illegally or through some kind of backdoor trick or whatever it is, and then you have literally 2 million can come in before we call it an emergency in that bill. I mean, that is lawlessness, and that's exactly what I think Democrats want down there.
I'm glad you pointed out the story to your parents, because I was having this discussion with Lori Reese of the Heritage Foundation yesterday about how many people are waiting patiently in line, either through the lottery system or whatever system they are on, or their own application to come in. They're kind of being backlogged because they're all busy processing these hundreds of thousands coming across, and they're not going to really get any attention until we're resolving what's at our southern border. And this bill, you're right, all it was going to do is put a cap of, well, if there's more than 7,000 within a one-week period, or maybe we'll 5,000, we'll mandatorily close it. Who's going to be reporting that, and how long is it going to be closed? There's nothing in there that's clear.
No. And the president can just override the whole thing for 45 days every year.
Sure.
Open the floodgates. I mean, that's ridiculous. I asked in another column, I mean, can you imagine Democrats supporting a bill that allowed Donald Trump to take the most important provision and just ignore it because he wants to? I mean, that would be no, they would never do that. Why would Republicans sign on for something like that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had that in front of me earlier and I put it aside because, see, when it's always when you put it on the other foot that suddenly everyone realizes, oh, no, you can't do that. And of course, with Trump, he can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So just, you know, to go back to the border for a second, I mean, let's say you're pro, if you're pro-immigration, just because there are people who are closer proximity than other people doesn't mean that they should be able to cut the line. I mean, that's just,
no.
I think most Americans who believe in immigration, and I think most Americans do to whatever extent, understand that it shouldn't work that way. Also, having a crush of people coming from one or two places at the same time is not good for a country. I mean, everyone, they always talk about diversity. Well, there's a little diversity in our immigration if we're just going to let people, most of the people, I know there are other country people from other countries down there, but mostly, you know, they're coming from the same area.
You're listening to David Harshani with the senior editors of Federalist and Why Biden is Threatening to Veto Aid to Israel. It's in the Federalist right now. I do encourage you to read it. And one of my listeners the other day, since we're talking about all about Ukraine is what Biden and Schumer are pushing. He said, what if they put into the Ukraine package, okay, we'll give you the money, and maybe you tell them that they are going to have to allow 5,000 Russians inside their border every week. Think Ukraine would go along with that?
I do not, which is it's actually a very interesting point, because this whole war is about areas that are filled with, you know, majority Russian areas within Ukraine, and the problems that that sort of thing causes, you know, the cultural problems that that causes. So it's actually quite a good point on more than one level.
Well, the other issue is, as I was pointing out to the audience, because they are simply blaming the border bill failure. And that the Americans, as Chuck Schumer said, the Republicans stood here and said they wanted a border bill, or they give us no aid for Ukraine. Okay, we gave them a border bill, now give us some money for Ukraine. And as you said, they can should all be three separate items. It's only because the Democrats want to tie it together. So they started out with a win-win. We're going to win if the Republicans will go along and accept the border bill we give them and everything else we want. And we're going to win if they don't, because then we can say, they turn their back on securing the border.
Yeah, that's the whole point here, to kind of election coming up to try to pretend that it's the Republicans' fault that there's mayhem down there. Now, obviously, there was mayhem down there years ago as well.
Sure.
But it was Biden who stopped Remain in Mexico policy. It was Biden who stopped a bunch of other agreements we had that incentivized people to come to the border when he became president. I mean, you can look at the numbers. There's no, you know, there's just no way around it. Everyone knows that that's true. And but now they want to, you know, they want to blame Republicans again. Listen, I think that's going to be a heavy lift. I think most people realize what's going on down there and who wanted to build a wall. I mean, I think Donald Trump won in 2016 because immigration is a far bigger topic than most people think. I don't even know that polls really reflect how people feel about it exactly, because you don't want to sound like you're, you know, a racist or something sure. bad when people ask you about it. But I don't think most voters, or a big chunk of voters, want the lawlessness down there. And also, by the way, when we're talking about illegal immigrants here, it's bad for them as well. They're, first of all, the first act they do coming here is an illegal one. Secondly, they live, you know, they're not integrated. They can't be integrated into American society until years later. People are going to ask for amnesty, and I don't think that's going to happen. So anyway.
But that's the ultimate plan, a general amnesty all yeah. over again. And and of course, it's not just the Dreamer packet, but then the other point in the last 30 seconds, everyone that comes in the country illegally, if they end up having a child here, that is already a U.S. citizen, so the parents might well end up staying just on that basis.
Yeah, for sure, and I think Democrats see them as future voters, sorry yeah, to say.
That's what they're counting on. David, as always, I thank you for your time. Great article, by the way.
Thank you. Anytime.
We'll do it again. David Harshani, he is with the Federalist Senior Editor. Coming up, Toby Keith, of course, announced yesterday that the country star died of cancer. The New York Times went on the attack against him and you. And Tucker Carlson explains his interview with Putin coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, they used to make a living off of bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, the weed was in. Well, they profit off of weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right. Hell's kitchen gonna burn.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Americans have a right to know all they can about a war they're implicated in. And we have the right to tell them about it because we are Americans, too.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is sitting down with Tucker Carlson. The former Fox News host announced on Tuesday that Putin will sit down with Carlson for his first interview with an American outlet in 3 years. In a video posted to X, Carlson accused other media outlets of being corrupt in their coverage of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and reporting on one side of the conflict by conducting multiple interviews with Ukrainian President Zelensky and none with Putin.
Most Americans have no idea why Putin invaded Ukraine or what his goals are now. They've never heard his voice. That's wrong. We are not encouraging you to agree with what Putin may say in this interview, but we are urging you to watch it. You should know as much as you can. And then, like a free citizen and not a slave, you can decide for yourself.
Isn't that the way it should be? You question someone and you get a response. You may not like what they have to say, but at least you know where they stand. But Tucker Carlson has been basically crucified by the left because, oh my God, he's going over to visit with Putin. You know how Putin helped rig the election for Trump. They want to keep recycling that lie over and over again when it's been proven it never happened. There was no Russian collusion. None. The only ties to that election with Hillary and Trump were the Russians and Hillary. But I'm not going to spend all my time rehashing all that. You know most of it already. But what I'm interested in is how they're going after Tucker Carlson simply because he's going over there. You do know that Biden has sent Secretary Blinken numerous times to talk to members of Hamas or those representing them, the very people representing the group that went into Israel and slaughtered innocent people on October 7. Should that not be called out? Why are we talking to those people? Why don't we just go there and bomb the hell out of them? Because it's called diplomacy, and you try to find some way that might work. short of that. But, of course, they're not going to really be listening, but you make so-called effort. When the emperor surrendered on the USS Missouri to end Japan's war against us and the rest of the world, we still went with General MacArthur back to Japan, to Tokyo, and began to set up relations. And before they got off the plane, before General MacArthur got off the plane, he called one of his, told those on board, his officers, no one walks off with a gun. We walk off, he said, well, he'd already been told, look, they got thousands of soldiers lining our route. They're all carrying rifles. He said, well, we're not going to walk off with any guns. We're going to walk off and show that we have won and there's no reason to be feared. We want to walk out with American bravado, basically, and show them that this is moving forward. And we're here to rebuild your country, to help you rebuild it. We bombed the hell out of Tokyo. We killed thousands upon thousands just in nighttime bombing raids over Tokyo. And, of course, that doesn't include the nuclear weapons released later. You have, at some point, reestablish relations if you can. Look where we are now with Japan. And, of course, also look where we are with China, which brings me to someone else who got chastised, you would have thought, but really didn't, because he was the one man who could do what he did without somebody coming after him. Date, 1972. Richard Nixon, the president of this nation, went to China. It marked the culmination of his effort to establish relations between the U.S. and the People's Republic after years of American diplomatic policy that favored Taiwan. But once China took over the entire area except for Taiwan, Nixon went in there. And Nixon was one of those who was all about, during the McCarthy era, find the commies and root them out, name them, call them out. If a Democrat president had made that effort to go to China, I'm sure maybe they would have said, he's obviously a commie. They couldn't say that about Richard Nixon. Now, you can say a lot of things about Richard Nixon and his presidency, looking back, and, of course, reference Watergate. But that one moment when he made that decision, a seven-day visit to go to China, visiting three cities, it was the first time a U.S. president had visited the mainland of China. He arrived in Beijing, and that ended 25 years of no communication nor diplomatic ties between those two countries. And then he visited them again to give more leverage with us in China over relations with the Soviet Union after China and Soviet split, Sino-Soviet split, actually. And in 1979, we established full diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China. So Tucker Carlson, in simply going to interview Putin, as he said, were there questions we should be asking? Well, now, that was released yesterday, and the interview has now taken place. Tucker Carlson said he's going to make it available. He has his own Twitter platform and broadcast platform and everything else now. He says, we're not going to make it available only for those who pay. We're going to make it free. We want everyone to hear. So, yes, it's a feather in his cap that he got it. It's a feather in his cap that he decided to do it. It's a feather in his cap to journalism, to simply ask the questions. But here's how it's being treated by a lot on the left. They can't stand him, first of all, and so anything he does must be torn down and challenged. I'm looking at a piece actually written by Breitbart, which would favor what Tucker's doing. And they're admitting that the Russian dictator Putin has announced that and confirm the interview has already taken place in the Kremlin, and their state media said the same. We can confirm it as soon as it's ready to be released. Now, when asked or explaining why Russia agreed to give Carlson an interview when it had turned down other Western journalists, the spokesman for Putin said, "We didn't consider Carlson pro-Russian. He wasn't pro-Ukraine either, merely pro-American, and consequently," and I quote, "he has a position that differs from the rest of Western media." They see it too. They know propaganda. They built that machine. They know it when they see it happening inside our borders. And he says, "We saw that he wasn't part of that propaganda machine, so our message would be heard." And as Tucker said, "We're not trying to get you to agree with him, but just understand, and you make up your own mind." Is that too much to ask of you? Oh, I stand corrected there. It is too much to ask for some to make up your own mind. He went on to say, Tucker Carlson is merely pro-American, has a position that differs from the rest of Western media. At least it is contrastingly different from the position of traditional Anglo-Saxon media. Now, that is a common Russian dog whistle, referring to what they perceive as a negative impact on global politics by white Northern Europeans, as represented by D.C., London, and Brussels. That's the way it's written by Breitbart, and I think they nailed it. Carlson called some of the reporting of the Ukraine war, which he said blindly parroted the Ukrainian government, as government propaganda from Ukraine. And who over here has been asking that question, really? Not really. But we are now at a point in our nation where why are we continuing sending money and helping them when we don't even secure our own border? The whole idea for Ukraine is to stop the Russians from invading so they will have a secure border, right? Yes, Larry, that's exactly right. So why don't we secure our border? Carlson said at one point, "We are not here because we love Vladimir Putin. We're here because we love the United States and we want it to remain prosperous and free." Oh, that had to absolutely torch the hair of many leftists. How dare he talk about the freedom of the United States and Russia the same sentence? And actually, he claimed other news outlets hadn't really bothered to try to interview Putin. Do you remember 60 Minutes interview, Mike Wallace, doing an interview with the Ayatollah? No one else had even asked for it. CBS News, well, maybe they did, but CBS News got it, and Mike Wallace in particular. Hard, tough interviewer. His son was not a chip off the old block from the beginning, and even though he tried for a while, he failed miserably, and he obviously isn't. But at one point, in speaking to the Ayatollah, actually, Wallace took this approach. He said, "Sir, I need to say and understand, these are not my words," he said. "These are not my words, but others say, basically, you're a dictator, you're a killer, and so forth." But he cautioned, he said, "I'm not saying this about you, but this is what others are saying about you." I don't have any problem with Mike Wallace taking that approach because, again, he's making it clear these are not my statements, but this is what being said. What do you have to say about it? Quite honestly, that's pretty close to what I did with the Obama interview, simply in the sense of saying, American people think you're out of touch. The American people I hear from, they think you're out of touch with what's happening. I didn't have to say it. I could have said, I think, because I did, but I'm there ready to get information and get his response. And I got it. One way or the other, I definitely got it. So we'll be interested in seeing how this Tucker Carlson thing plays out. All right, now here's something else I want to bring to your attention. And this is distressing again as to how far the leftist media will go. They have no shame. No shame. Just hours after it got announced yesterday, the country music star Toby Keith had died of cancer. The New York Times started attacking him. And not just attacking Toby Keith, but American patriots. You.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world.
That is a song brought to you by the Red, White, and Blue, Toby Keith did. So yesterday, John Caramanaka, if I'm mispronouncing it, John, I'm not intending, but I could care less, but I'm just trying to tell you I'm not. He's a columnist for the New York Post, and he talked about Toby Keith was more than mere bluster or something of that nature. He said his choice to become a post-9/11 culture war champion overshadowed the work of a musician who was funnier, politically slippery. He made a point to say that Toby Keith was basically a Democrat. He had to bring that up. For years, he had been a registered Democrat. But as Toby said in a Playboy interview in 2005, I'm a very conservative Democrat. There's a big difference, isn't there? That was 2005. And while the New York Times columnist said, and while he sang movingly about the sacrifices of the military, he himself, unlike his father, had never served. In other words, put this in his eye. Stick him in the eye. And his father, of course, did lose an eye in the war, as you heard mentioned in the song. Why is it the man at that point, this column was written on the 6th. It was that day, just the hours before that day started, that we learned about the death of Toby Keith. They could not wait to get something out like this. It's meant to attack him because he tied up the September 11 attacks with the aspect that America is strong and we will fight our way back. And yet, oh, Toby Keith never served in the military. He may talk about fighting, but he never did. And he was at one time a conservative. I mean, a Democrat. But as Toby said, a conservative Democrat. And apparently, according to the New York Times, they said at one point he wasn't sure if he's even going to release that song, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, until the Pentagon, after he performed it at the Pentagon, he was told, our troops will embrace that song as a morale booster. The whole nation did. And see, that's where the New York Times is really going after, the fact that we would defend what we believe in this country. When Obama's elected, he starts an apology tour, going around saying, well, what we did in the past, we need to apologize for. Toby Keith and his song, and whether or not you like Trump, the attitude is, we are America, and we're proud of this country. You should be proud of your country. And if you live here and you're not proud of this country, well, then get the hell out. Move on now. There are plenty who want to come in that might be good for us, maybe many not. Dr. Randy Tobler coming up in the next hour on vaccines. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.